What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry. Glory to God.
Now, I continue the series. There's a place called there. We saw this morning that there's a call of God upon our lives, right? Like Abraham. The Bible tells us in Isaiah to look unto Abraham. Say, look to him. I called him and I blessed him. And we saw the background and the place where Abraham came from. And from one man, there is a nation today known as the nation of Israel. Not just that, are we together? Not just the fact that there is a nation that came from that one man. There are nations that have come out of that man called the church, the body of Christ. And without doubt, Abraham is great in at least three major, in quote, religions of the world. The Jews see him as their father. The Muslims see him as their father. And as Christians, we also see him as a father in faith. And yet, see where God took that man from. And his walk of faith, his life of obedience, has produced people like you and I. And we saw this morning that when God calls you, and you discover that call for your life, you become a blessing to the world. You become a blessing to the nation. You're no longer a face in the multitude. You are not one of a kind. Are you getting me? You are not one lost in the sea of faces. God makes you a special breed. A special kind. Why? Because before you came here, he had you in mind. I always say this jokingly. Growing up, I used to have uncles who like sending people. And sometimes they call you without anything. They are in love with sending people. Have you ever met relations like that? They're just in love with sending. In fact, like if you're sitting down, why are you sitting down? You have to be up and doing. So sometimes they just say, hey, Awashima, come here. And when you come, they don't even have an assignment for you. They just want you to come. And you're standing there and waiting. After a while, they say, hey, go and come again. You know, they just have to get you to do something. God is not like that. The call of God upon our lives is for a purpose. That purpose is set. Then he calls us. He calls us unto purpose. He does not call us for purpose. So God has called you because there is a purpose, there is a plan in his heart for you. Are we together? Now I'm going to take off from 1 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul was talking to Timothy. 1 Timothy, amen, chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 11, now, I told you earlier in the morning, Timothy was a teenager who was pastoring a church. Somebody said, really? Yes. He was in his teens. It's what they will call teenagers today. That is why, are we together? Paul had to tell him some things because I want you to understand the kind of church that Timothy was pastoring. The name of the church that Timothy was pastoring is called the Church in Ephesus. So when you read the book of Ephesians, hello, it is a letter that was written to Paul's church, to Timothy's church. Now, Timothy didn't start the church. Guess who started the church? Paul started the church. But Timothy took the reins of that church. And he was pastoring it. And the Bible tells us that Timothy's grandmother was in that church. Timothy's mother, Eunice, was in that church. So have you imagined being in a church where pastoring your grandmother and your mother? So Timothy was not perceived as a child. He was young. He was a youth, but he was not a child. And Paul is writing a letter to him. In verse 11, Paul says, "These things command and teach." Verse 12, he says, "Let no one despise your youth." Why? Because he was young. Say, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Tell your neighbor, be an example. Give me the Message translation. He says, "And don't let anyone put you down because you are young." So can I speak to you tonight? Don't let anyone put you down because you are young. He says, "Teach believers with your life. By word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity." Can we have the Passion Translation? He says in the Passion, "And don't be intimidated by those who are older than you. Simply be the example they need to see by being faithful and true in all that you do. Speak the truth and live a life of purity and authentic love as you remain strong in your faith." Did you see that? You know what it means to be an example? It means to be a brand. You know what a brand is? It's the image that you cast on people's minds, even when you're not there. What you represent. What you stand for. That's the word example there. That's what it means. You know, Coca-Cola is a brand. That is why every soda is referred to as Coke. So which type of Coke do you want? Do you want Fanta or Sprite? But the generic name for all those things is called what? It's called soda. They are sodas. But because Coca-Cola stands out, you know, you send someone, he says, I couldn't find Coca-Cola. He said, the Coke I saw there is Pepsi. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's because Coca-Cola is an example. It's a leading name. Do I have a witness? You ask someone, "What kind of Indomie should I buy? What Indomie do you want me to buy?" Hello. But they are noodles. But you see, Indomie is the name that even if you go and someone, well, I really don't eat those stuff. Let's say you go and they give you, is it Mini Me? And okay, you know the name. So someone gives you Mini Me. You say, "Which kind of Indomie is this?" You say, "This one, man, I Indomie." Why? Indomie is an example. So when Paul said, be an example, what he's saying is that don't be intimidated. But he didn't say be arrogant. He didn't say don't be intimidated. So move around, bust your chest, and be arrogant. No, he said there is a way to be a leading brand. There is a way to represent something in the minds of people. There is a way that people might look at you because you are young, but they cannot deny your result. There is a way that you might look youthful, but it doesn't matter if your grandmother is in that church. It doesn't matter if your mother is in that church. Hello, you can be a pace setter. So do you know what I'm saying to you tonight? I'm saying to you the same thing Paul says to Timothy. Amen. All the amazing things sitting in front of me. Be a brand. Be an example. Be a pace setter. And he says that there is a way to do this. He said there's a way to go about it. That means there are things that you can engage in today and you will become a brand in people's minds. You know, in those days, there used to be a toothpaste called McLean's. And some of us grew up thinking that every toothpaste is McLean. So we even say, which McLean did they bring? But you know why? McLean stood out. They were using McLean before I was born. But you could trust McLean over what? Time. Listen now. That means there are sets of things that the McLean company does that other brands, are you getting me? Other products have not been able to do. So they've not been able to stamp that impression in people's minds. What we're saying, there's a way you can live your life. You become a brand in the minds of people. Are you getting me? Now, how many of you want to be a brand? How many of you want to, you know, there are words that they give some of those things. And I don't want to use some of those words. They use the word celebrities. But celebrities are people that are celebrated per time. God is not calling you to be a celebrity. Are you getting me? Celebrities come and go. So God is not calling you to be a celebrity. He's calling you to be an example. To be a brand. You are not here so that they will be asking of you 10, 15 years ago and they say, who are they talking about? It means like Pastor Simon was saying, years to come, your name will still be ringing in the hearts of people. Do I have a witness here tonight? So the time to make that distinction, the time to engage in the activities that sets you apart is not when you are there. Is where you are now. So everything that you're doing today, the gamut of everything you're doing today is a build up to a legacy that you leave tomorrow. You know, even when I was in primary school, I always wanted to be known for something. I wanted to be known for something good. I wanted to stand out. And I was always a brilliant student. Amen. I wanted to be known for something good. I always used to tell myself, after I left primary school then, I used to talk of how one day I'm going to come back to this primary school and address the pupils and tell them how I left here. It was my dream. And it came to pass. I was called to come and address them. When I was in the university, before I went to the university, like Pastor Simon was saying today, I was reading books, and I'm going to teach you some of those things. Do you want to learn them?
Yes,
I'm going to teach some of those things. I was reading books because, Aaron, don't feel bad. That's how I kept waiting for admission. It didn't come, but I graduated. Amen. That's a story for another day. But rather than sobbing and crying, little did I know that those years that it looked as though I did not get the admission that I wanted when I wanted it, rather than sobbing and crying, I was unconsciously building myself to be an example. And I remember one of those days I wrote in one of my diaries. I've always kept a diary, and that diary is still in my library. I wrote in that jotter, Lord, if you can use anybody, use me. I want to give me an opportunity to preach to 300 people. That was my desire. I said, I don't know why 300. I said, God, give me an opportunity to preach your word to 300 people, and I'm going to preach it. That time, 300 people looked big to me. I remember one of those days I was invited to Ferragamo Girls College by the fellowship to come and preach. I was so excited. Why? Because while other boys were going there for parties, I was going for my own party too. And I was so excited. I went and cut my hair, praise the Lord. Spent time praying, studying the Bible, then they canceled the program. You need to see how I was in my room praying. And as I'm praying, glory to God, I'll be praying, I'll be reading my Bible. I said, when I stand, this is how I'm going to start in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I was just thinking about how I'll be preaching and dishing out the word of God. I had rehearsed this message for days. Then they called me and said, sorry, some things came up. The principal said that the meeting cannot hold. They said, well, I can come on the visiting day and talk to some of the ESCOs. I said, I don't want to talk to ESCOs. I want to preach. I want to preach. I want to preach to 300 people. Because they told me there were going to be over 500 to 600 people there. Staff. Guess how old I was? I was 17 years. And my friend, Bukola Onifade, who helped to make the arrangement, Pastor, sorry. I will do another one again. I will talk to them again. They will bring you. I said, just forget. But of course, eventually I went. But not to preach. But guess what? One day, I got admission to University of Agriculture, Makurdi. And I went for my convocation. As I went for my convocation, it was in the main auditorium. Then it was in North Core. Because I heard there's a bigger place now. And I stood there. As I stood there, I saw a hall. Are you getting me? That had a podium like this. And as we sat there waiting to be matriculated into 100 level, guess all that was in my heart? Oh, that I will climb that place and preach. Lord, let me just climb this place and preach. It was a burning desire. I said, just give me this stage. Let me preach. Let me share the word of God. That is how I was in Uni Agric for 6 years. I never preached on it. One time I wanted to have a program there. They say it's not possible. That they had a particular event. We couldn't do it. But of course, I was still preaching. I'll preach to 20 students, 30 students. I'll preach to 40 students, preach to 20 students, clusters of students. I've always preached. Glory to God. But one day I was sitting in my office. And then they said 3 people wanted to see me. So they walk in and I recognized one of them. They said, Pastor Arame, we came to see you. We are the fellowship president, ESCOs, from so-and-so fellowship, University of Agriculture. And we are having a program. And it was strongly impressed on our hearts that you should be the guest speaker at the program. And we also want to ask if you can give us your drums. I said, anything you want, carry them. Now, I wasn't thinking. I didn't remember the 300. I didn't remember the prayer I made. But I was just so excited that they wanted to do something and I had just graduated like 3 years prior to that time. So that day, it was an all-night meeting. I now drove to Uni Agric in my car. And I was waiting for, there's a place where this fellowship usually will meet. So I thought that's where they were going to meet. Are you getting me? I was expecting them to be there. So after waiting for about 15, 20 minutes, someone walked up to me and said, I now saw someone and greeted the person. He said, okay, sir, what's happening? I said, I came. I'm having a meeting. He said, no, the meeting is in North Core. I entered my car and drove to North Core. When I got there, amen, the auditorium was packed full. Lecturers were there. They were sitting. The place was packed full. And then they now said, we have the honor of welcoming a man of God from Boko here, and he used to be in this school. Let's welcome Pastor Arame Tukula. I came up and walked up that podium. The moment I stood there, God said, Arame, I have answered your prayer. And from there, my lecturers kept saying, wow, so I taught you. Some of my lecturers, they said, yes, sir, you taught me. He said, you were in my class? I said, yes. He says, it's an honor. It's an honor. It's an honor. Glory to God. What am I saying? You have to be an example. You know when you start making that decision? Now. I see some of you standing and speaking in large coliseums. I see some of you sitting before me today. You'll be doing business across continents. Maybe right now you're just saying, Lord, just give me this business. Just give me this. Listen, dream big things. Ask God for what? For big things. Have big visions. And let nobody despise your vision. Let nobody put down your dreams. Let nobody tell you it is not what? Possible. Because it is possible. Don't say, because I'm in Boko, I must have Boko dreams. Dream outside the confines of your comfort. Make up your mind, I'm going to be what? An example. I'm going to be a brand. I'm going to represent something in the minds of people. The only reason people say it cannot be done is because somebody has not done it. Make up your mind to be that person to say, to do that which has always been said cannot be done. Don't be confined. Hello? To what they call status quo. How many of you have heard the word status quo? Do you know what status quo means? Status quo does not mean nothing more to do. Status quo is from the Latin word. It's a Latin word that means see the mess we are in. Come out of the mess. Listen, there are inventions that they've not had. Some of you is in Boko here, you bring forth those inventions. No, you didn't hear me. Let me talk to the people this side. Amen. There are solutions that people have been craving for. Things people have been looking for. And probably they've even dusted the fires and said it's not possible. From you, those solutions will come. Some of you listening to me today will be Nobel Prize laureates. Are you getting me? You will break new ground. Because, listen, I'm not saying this in your own strength. There is an anointing. The Spirit of the living God is mightily in this place, resting upon you to bring those things to pass. This anointing I'm talking about, glory to God, took a shepherd boy who was the last born in his family by the name David and made him a king. So it's not the position into which you were born. Are you with me? It's what has come upon you. And there is an anointing upon this ministry, resting upon you. The grace of God upon my life is resting upon you. And there can be nothing small about you. Glory to God. I feel like shouting, hallelujah. Be an example. Lift that hand and say, I'm the example. I'm the example. I am an example. I am a pace setter. I represent something in the hearts of people. I know when you want to be an example, you distinguish yourself. You think like an eagle. Do you know eagles don't have friends? Someone say, really? No, they don't flock. They choose their path. Every one of you has a path. You are like that eagle. Are you listening to me? I heard a story some years ago. Told by Reinhard Bonnke, great father of faith. He said that a farmer went, a hunter went hunting. And he saw this nest of with eggs. And little did he know that it was one of the eggs of an eagle. So he picked one. As he was about picking the second one, he saw the eagle charging at him. So he ran with the egg. Guess what he did? So he brought it back to his farm and took the egg and placed it put it in his poultry farm where there were other chickens. And, you know, this chicken now took time to brood on the eggs and hatched them. And here comes the baby eaglet. And the eaglet grew up with the chicks and was following the hen, scavenging for food. They were having a beautiful life, true of all, on the man's farm. Beautiful, lovely. It's just scavenging. You know how chickens are. My mom used to raise them. I'm not talking about modern day poultry farm where they don't know how to do anything. You know these days, these are how they are. They don't move. They've removed every sense of. I went to so they remove every sense of being a hen from them. These ones are broilers. Broilers are not hens. You get me? What I'm talking about, how many of you know some of those old local fowl? You know what I mean? We used to have them growing up. My mom used to have lots of them. You know, when they charge at you, you know you're in trouble. You know, but you know, broilers, they will run. When they are tired, they'll sit there and say, come and get me. But you can't do that. You can't do that with a hen. You try to touch its eggs. You will discover that it can do things you don't know it can do. It will peck you. It will fight you. Yeah, so I'm talking about the hen. Hallelujah. And here they were, just scouting. And the eaglet was with the chicks, enjoying life. If they want food, it will join them. The mother will teach them. The hen will teach them. That's what they were doing. But the farmer said he noticed something. Over a period of time, he noticed one day that the mother eagle who came and started hovering around his farm. So when he took note of it, I was wondering, what is this eagle always hovering around this place for? It will come and hover, guess what? And it will lift a shout, whoa! And then disappear again. Come the following day, even the farmer had forgotten that, look, among those chicks, one is what? Is an eaglet. But he said he noticed something one day. It came as usual. I know the eagle is a big bird, very big bird. It came and started screaming and shouting. He said from the window of his house, he looked at the eaglet. And he noticed that while the eaglet was moving with the chicks, it turned. And the eaglet kept looking at the eagle, and he kept shouting. He started moving and running. He tried to flap its wings. He fell. He lifted its wings again. He fell. He said by the fourth time, the eaglet took off and never came back. He went with the mother. He said that day he discovered something, that no matter how you kept the eaglet with the chicks, it was never a hen. It can never become a chicken because there was something in it that told it that, look, you were not designed to scavenge for food like chicks. You are destined for the sky. He said he went and he never came back. Can I speak to you? When you got born again, are you getting me? You became the chip of an old block called the Ancient of Days. Are you with me? Listen to me. Stop scavenging with hens, with chicks. You are not a chick. You are not a hen. Your order is after the order of the eagle. And after this conference, you know what's happening to you. You will leave some of those circles where you have been scavenging. There is a cry, there is a shout to you. Something is telling you that you are more than ordinary. Are you getting me? You are not destined to be walking on ordinary roads like every person. You are royalty. You are king. There is something about you. There is the shout of a king, the roaring of an eagle on the inside of you. And I see you rising from where you are. And you are taking your place with the stars. And you are riding high. Hallelujah. Refuse the ordinary life. You will see men who do the ordinary saying, that's not my class. That is not my place. After today, there are places you don't fit into anymore. There are conversations you will not be able to have anymore. When they are talking, you can't relate with it because you don't understand what they are saying. That is not your place. I don't belong here. I know who I am. Amen. I am a royal priesthood, a chosen nation. Amen. I've been called to show forth the praise of him who has called me out of darkness into what? Into light. I am more than conqueror. Nay, in all these things, the Bible says, we are more than conqueror. That is your stock. No more ordinary. I am an example. Am I talking to someone? I am an example. I am different. I belong to the stars. I belong to the sky. I'm not even a bird that flies. I'm a bird that soars. That means I can understand the currents of God's spirit. I can spread my wings and do what? And then I can soar. I'm not a bed of struggle. I'm a victorious bed. I'm a conquering bed. Am I talking to somebody tonight? You're not ordinary. When people, listen to me, when you are following a hen and they are eating, you might say they are enjoying life. Wait till you enter where? Wait till you enter into the sky. That's when you will see real enjoyment. You know, one of the things when I'm in the air and I'm flying and I sit in the plane, you know, it's like we're taxiing off and then eventually we get into the air. Then I keep looking down. I like sitting at the window when I'm in a plane. And then we keep looking down. Hello? I'm seeing all the roads, people struggling, traffic jam, road safety, police. Then when the plane hits a particular altitude, guess what? I don't even know what is happening down. Listen to me, that's the real life. That's the real life. I know when you're sitting in a Range Rover Sport, and you're going, you know, you're feeling yourself. You might feel you are enjoying what? You're enjoying life. Enjoying life on the road. you're enjoying life on the road. When the police lifts his hand like this with your Range Rover, what will you do? You stop. You know this big boy are forming. Road safety, you say, park here. You will park. But get into a plane. Let me see how road safety will say, hey. What am I saying to you tonight? Hallelujah. When you begin to live this supernatural life that you have been called to live, listen, no devil in hell, no demon can stop you from being who God wants you to be. So I'm a champ. I'm a victor. See, night clubbing is not the life. It's a chicken life. Casting out devils is the real life. Are you listening to me? Because when you go a nightclub and dance, when you come back and you now see a devil in the house, you're not going to say, hey, can I have it? Can I dance a bit? No. You know what the real life is. It's when you see a demon-possessed person and you say, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you. Come out of him now. That is the real life. Real living is when you have mastery over both things that can be seen and things that cannot be seen. Glory to God. So let me teach you more principles on building. Are we ready? Genesis 22, verse 1. Where was I reading this morning? So I'll teach you some today. I'll teach you some. I think I have a session tomorrow morning. And another one tomorrow evening. All right. Amen. So we're going to have a Holy Ghost service tomorrow evening. And the power of God is going to come upon you. Genesis 22, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, and he said, here I am. Verse 2. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as what? A burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. On the line of which I shall tell you. Glory to God. Pastor Simon said something this evening. I don't know if you heard him. That the surest foundation of life is the word of God. Do you know, throughout the ages, kingdoms have come and have gone. But one thing has abided, has always remained. That is the word of God. Listen, when God says something, you can take it to the bank. When God says something, everything changes to respond to what he has said. Listen, the word of God is the most powerful thing. It is the most potent thing. Are you getting me? It is the strongest and surest thing ever known to humanity. Let me say it again. When God says something, or anything that God has said, is the surest thing. If God comes here today, today is Thursday, and says today is Sunday, listen, you will go and check your calendar. Everything will be showing Sunday. Nothing beats his word. The word of God must be the foundation for our lives, because that's where you find purpose. How did Abraham live his life? He lived his life based on what God said. So, as a young person, you know the first thing, and this is what I call the law of purpose. You must discover purpose from the pages of God's word. You cannot afford to build your life on things that fail. The only person that has never failed, will never fail, and is not planning to fail is God. And you cannot separate God and his word. If you want to know God, then you have to know his word. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, God, who in various times and in various ways spoke to our fathers, amen, through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us expressly through his what? Son. Hallelujah. He has spoken to us through his what? His son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Who is his son? The word of God. I was sharing this with you yesterday. If you want to know how God talks today, go to his word. Heaven and earth will pass, Jesus said, but not a jot, not an iota of his word will pass unfulfilled. So if you want to be secure in life, if you want to be an example, then in this phase of your life, like we were told earlier, get into God's word and build your life on it. I don't say this proudly, but by the time I was finishing secondary school, I had read the whole Bible. Did I understand the whole Bible? No. But I read it. And I always say this, the Bible is an interesting book. Apart from the fact that it is the word of God, it is interesting. There is UFC in the Bible. How do you explain David and Goliath? Amen. There are superheroes in the Bible. How do you talk about Samson? This is beyond Wakanda. Am I talking to someone? This is not just Black Panther. Someone who can get a lion and tear the lion. Is that not some superhero? There are superheroes like Moses. What he had in his hand, Thor has a hammer. Who is talking about hammer here? We're talking about dry stick. Am I talking to someone? You stretch that stick, glory to God, towards the sea, and you divide it. Your superheroes should come from the word of God. If you're looking for love, there is love in the Bible. Read the Songs of Solomon and see how Jesus can spoil you with love. Hallelujah. There's romance in scripture. So if your tendency in life is for war, you will see wars in the Bible. There are stories in scripture. And when I read the Bible, I'm happy. But much more, the Bible is a revelation of one man. His name is Jesus. Make sure you know Jesus for yourself. Are you hearing me? Not what somebody said about him. Be able to say, this is who Jesus is. Not because you come to church, but because you are soaking yourself where? In the word of God. Like Pastor Simon was talking about that girl who knew God's word. Listen to me. It is not the gift or talent of reading. It's because that girl set her heart to know God's word. When you are done spraying your hair, spray your mind also. Am I talking to somebody? Glory to God. Spray your mind with the word of God. Don't have a mind that is empty, that is void. So that they know you are not just walking aimlessly. You know why? The only thing that will give you and assure you victory in life is the word of God. Listen, it's when I started reading the word of God. I grew up in a Christian home. It's when I started reading the word of God that my pictures changed. My desires changed. My dreams changed. It was from God's word I discovered that I am a master over sickness. I'm a master over disease. I remember back then, everything. Arame, get to the hospital. Arame, go to the hospital. And I was tired of taking drugs because I had seen in scripture who himself bore my own sins in his own body. Arame, you being dead to sin will live unto what? To righteousness. By whose stripes you are healed. I said, no. I will not be sick another day in my life again. I found my purpose there. It's from God's word I discovered that I can never, ever, ever be poor again. And I hold no apology for it. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, that you, and I put my name there, Arame, through his what? Poverty, might be made rich. I saw it in the word of God. I will spend hours reading books. If you come to my office today, you still see me doing what? Reading books. But there's no book I've read like the Bible. Even this morning, I read the Bible. It gives me strength. It shapes my ideologies. It gives me my concept for life. Read the Bible. If King James is too hard, get New King James. If New King James is too high, get NIV. If NIV is too hard, get Passion. If Passion is too high, are you getting me? Get Message. If Message is too hard, get Living Bible. There are different translations, but make sure you read. And this generation is a privileged generation because the word of God is everywhere. Make sure it's not just in the pages of your book called the Bible. Make sure it's on the pages of your heart. Listen, you know why? You cannot function in what you don't know. You need to know what God has said about you. I used to be afraid of devils. When they are telling stories about demons, I say, hey, stop. I don't want to hear. I remember one night, some years ago, they were telling a story in my house about how someone was delivered from the power of darkness. It's after I heard that story that the darkness entered me. Because I was lying on the sofa, on the couch, in the living room, and then I woke up into the conversation. And I heard these people talking, and my dad was sitting there, and I was talking, and they were talking. I'd already started listening to it, but they thought I was sleeping. So they were talking about the deliverance, what happened, the testimony of the man. He talked of how he went to the river. I don't want to tell you the story. It's not necessary. But when I heard the fear got into me, I was so afraid. So afraid. The visitors left. My dad now tapped me and said, Arame, go to the room. I said, no. Because I didn't know I was going to lie in that room all by myself. He said, go to the room. I said, no. He now said, I'm not begging you. I said, stand up and go to the room. I said, no, I like the parlor. I want to stay here. He said, no. And he couldn't leave me there. So he looked into my eyes and he saw fear. He said, what's the problem? What are you afraid of? I said, no, nothing. I just want to stay here. I said, what are you afraid of? I said, I don't know what is inside that room. So he sat me down. And my dad told me a story I will never forget. I don't know whether the story is true or not, but he blessed me. Because he took a portion of scripture and said there was a time that there were, I didn't even know that this part of scripture, there was any story like that. But this is how he told me the story. How they went to go and arrest a man in northern Nigeria. And the man just knelt by his bed and prayed. And in the night, God sent soldiers with guns. With machine guns. He said there were plenty. They surrounded the man's house. So when the people came to arrest the man, they saw the machine guns. He told me, Sarame, we're going to pray. That same God who sent those machine guns, any demon that tries to come to you, they are going to be soldiers with machine guns surrounding your room. And they are going to shoot them off one by one. He said, do you believe God? I said, I believe God. He said, let's go to the room. We got to the room. I lay on the bed. My dad sat by the bed and prayed for me. Of course, I didn't sleep immediately, but my thoughts changed. I was just seeing machine guns everywhere. Amen. I was just lying there. At some point in time, lying on the bed, I said, hey, you devil, come. My machine gun soldiers are everywhere. They are going to bomb you. Years later, I discovered that the story my father told me is actually Elijah's story. How they had come to surround Dothan. Are you getting me? And God, you know, the prophet prayed that the eyes of his servants would be opened. And there were chariots of fire. Amen. But I used to be so afraid. But when I began to read the Bible, I now discovered that this devil I'm afraid of is actually the one who is supposed to be afraid of me. Because the Bible says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them. Colossians 2:14-15. Triumphing over them in it. From that day, I became a demon chaser. I will never forget the day they told me that somebody was demon possessed. I was in my house and they called me. They said, oh, sorry, man. Arame, come. There's someone here who is manifesting. I said, where? They said, I said, let's go. Someone looked at me and said, you're happy? I said, why not? Let's go cast them out. I'm telling you real stories. And when I came there, I behaved like Jesus. I said, all of you, calm down. Where did I see it? I saw it in the life of, yeah, like that little boy, calm down. I told all of them, I said, look, everybody calm down. Then I sat, you know, I had so much control. See, it's good to have spiritual power. I was so in control of my territory. And the guy was manifesting. I just told them, it will be well. I am here. Why? I saw Jesus do it. I saw Jesus do it. Amen.
Amen.
And I laid my hands upon him. He was just manifesting. I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command that devil spirit to leave you now. A coin fell out of his mouth. A diabolic coin that they gave him fell from his mouth. Everybody was shouting. Years later, this same person I'm talking to you about even went and joined the cult again. But we kept praying for him. And do you know, glory to God, he came out to testify here during our crossover service last year. He's a changed man, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. His life is transformed. You talk about enjoyment, that is solid enjoyment. Psalm 119 verse 9. Psalm 119 verse 9, quickly. So always strive to live your life in the will of God. Am I talking to someone? Always make sure that, you know, Pastor Avisi said something so powerful today. He said it's so beautiful to be in the will of God. Did you all get that? To know that this is what God wants you to do and you're doing it. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to your word? How many of you want a way that is clean? A way that is whole? The Bible says the way to go about it is by what? Taking heed. to the word of God. Give me the Message translation of that verse. He says, how can a young person live a clean life? He says, by what? By carefully reading the map of your word. Read the map of God's word. God's word will show you your purpose. It will show you the path to take. Do I have a witness here? Have 10 more minutes. It will show you the path to take. It will show you the way to go. It will keep you in a class all by yourself. Hallelujah. Now, why is it important to read the word of God? Why is it important to stay with the word of God? Can I talk to someone? Hello? Because all the resources you need in your life are on your pathway. A man of God said something that is so true. He says, God pays the bill for his will. When you're in the will of God, you can be sure God sponsors your habits. All the resources you need. Some of you here, there are people you will meet. They are part of the things people you need. There are people, there are resources you will need. All the money, all the connections, all the people, they are in your path designed for you by God. And you can only trace that path in the map of his word. Do you understand me? Everybody I have met in this life is because of the Bible. And listen, I've met some prominent people. Let me tell you a story. I was in Zambia to preach. God has taken me places. His word has taken me places. I was in Zambia to preach. So they looked at me. They were sending us to places to go and preach. And I was in it with some team of pastors. So they sent me to one village. When they came and picked me, I said, even in Boko, the road to our church is better than this. But they put me in a big car. I was happy. So I came there. It was a big church. I sat down in the church. Amen. And the church had, you know, when you enter a church with prominent, wealthy people, you could see that they were all looking at me. Hey, let's see whether this boy will try. Because I was relatively very young compared to the people I saw there. So I sat down. So they called me up. This is our pastor from Nigeria. So I came, I preached. When I was preaching, this is how they were looking at me. Who sent you here? My words were bouncing. But I knew this is what God wanted me to preach. Are you listening? So God said to me, Sarame, when I finished my message, that was my shortest message. I think I preached for just like 35 minutes. I was done. And I said, God, what do you want me to do? Do I go and sit down? The Spirit of God said, some of them here are not filled with the Holy Ghost. So make a call for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's after I asked if you're born again, come out. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come out. So I said, if you want to get born again, get filled with the Holy Ghost, come out. I want to pray for you. At first, nobody came out. Then after a while, I just waited for like another 15 seconds. Guess what? The assistant pastor. Yeah, I'll say, I don't know whether he's resident, but I know he's an assistant pastor. He now came and stood in front of me. So I thought he's one of the people who's going to help me catch the... So as he stood there, I said, sir, it's people who want to get filled with the Holy Ghost that I want to be. He said, I've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, all right. So I was startled a bit. So when he came out, lots of people came out. People started coming out. More people started coming out. More people started. I didn't know at the point I had to ask. I said, no, if you don't speak in tongues and you want to speak in tongues. They said, so the pastor walked up to me and said, yes, they don't speak in tongues. They all need to guess. So I stood there. Hallelujah. So I just shared God's word with them. I started laying hands on them. And I was the only one that went there. I went there with one sister Mwale, someone from the country there. She was helping me sell my CDs. So she quickly ran and was helping me catch some of them. They were slain under the power of God. The power of God was coming upon them. You know, and I just stood there. I said, so the power of God broke loose. The pastor was happy. This is how the wife sat. I said, okay. For the time I used ministering to them was longer than the time I used to preach. But things started happening that I didn't know. So the Spirit of God, when I was done, I said, what will you have me do? He said, you are done. So I told the pastor I was done. He came. And you know, the pastor plays guitar. He used to even play guitar for Nigerian fella, back in the days. The man used to play guitar in New York. So he grabbed the guitar in his church, you know, and he began to play. I had it on my iPad. You know, I had that video for a long time. He began to play. The place erupted in joy. People were excited, the power of God. So they said, Pastor, and I like the way Zambians talk, Pastor, we're very excited that you came, so we're going to take you out for lunch. We're very happy you came, so we're going to take you out. So they took me out for lunch. So I sat in the car. You know, I was just sitting there. And you know, when we got to the city mall, we got back into the city, entered into the restaurant. Everywhere we came, from the people who come out, they will come and greet the man, greet his wife. He will introduce me. He will say, this is our pastor from Nigeria that came to minister to us. Another person will come, greet. And I just felt they were popular. We went to the restaurant. They, you know, asked me to place my order. I didn't even know some of the things on the menu. The man said, try this, you'll like it. So I was just picking what I wanted to eat. Then another team of ministers came, and they came and greeted us. So the pastor now looked at me and said, please, Pastor Arome, I don't want you to feel embarrassed. You know, when your wife is the deputy speaker of the parliament, people just keep coming around. I said, eh? She was the number four person in that country. So one other prominent man in government came there and was greeting, and they now introduced me as the pastor from Nigeria. And he sat at the table with us. He now started asking me international questions. So what is happening in Nigeria with the... Because the way they introduced me, the man felt that I have been to Aso Rock. And he was asking me questions that only Aso Rock people could. So I just had to smile. I said, no, we have it under control. We're doing good. I just had to cut the conversation. It looked as though I was sitting with people who were way above my class. Till date, Pastor Max Masunga, are you getting me? He's still a very dear friend. Recently, he told me again, he said, I'm looking forward to the day that you're going to bring your wife and your children and come and have some time with us here in Zambia. I said, I'm looking forward to it too, and we're going to go. Yeah. And as I came back to my room, I said, wait, what will make me a Boko boy? Amen. Not a VI boy. Amen. What will make me a Boko boy? Who walked the streets of GRA to be sitting with such people and having conversations? Only the word of God. Purpose. Can I submit to you tonight? If you read this book, it will take you places. It will transform you. It will make your dreams come alive. You will find your purpose for it. Don't hide your Bible. This book is a light. There is no boy that has read this book and has remained ordinary. Especially when you read it with the understanding that the Spirit of God gives. This is the time when you build to be an example. You get into where? The Word of God. Can you stand up tonight? Life will ask you questions, and the best answers are from here. The best answers are from here. I used to be a very angry, vicious person before. My anger was not good. I'll be angry and break things. Until I saw in this book, you know what the Bible says? That anger lies in the bosom of a fool. I said, I'm not a fool. I said, no, I'm not a fool. I have mastery over my what? Over my emotions. I can control it. It was this book that taught me not to be hasty. The Bible, God's word. You know why? God's word shows you who you truly are. Not what your grandmother said. Not what your grandfather said. Not what your great-grandfather said. Not what your uncle said. Not what your father said. Not what your mother said. What your heavenly father has said is who you are. And like Pastor Simon rightly taught us tonight, build upon it. You know why the storms will come? When others are falling, you will be standing. You will be rising. You will be towering. Because you are built on something that cannot fail. Find purpose from the word of God. I listen to me. Find purpose from the word of God. Lift those hands to heaven wherever you are.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard. And we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.